You're listening to the Check Down Podcast, bringing you the latest news and analysis from around the Pac-12 with your host, Tony Kerkorian.
It was a great performance, but one great performance doth not make a trend, as our dear friend Billy Shakespeare said.
And Kyle Risco.
I was watching the highlights thinking, like, who is going to make a tackle? Why is everybody doing the ole? People are catching balls, and then the rest of the defense is just, like, falling over.
Welcome back to the Pac-12 Tech Checkdown Podcast. This is our emergency quarantine podcast number two. We did one a couple of weeks ago. We're getting it going again. We're going to do a little limited sports talk, and then we're going to kind of transition into some fun discussion, including the Tiger King and the average hourly work week for around the world, which I think will be a lot of fun. Kyle, how you doing? Quarantine getting to you yet? You in a bad place mentally?
No, I think there's actually a lot of positives that have come out of this.
Interesting, since you hate everything.
I'm trying to, yeah, right. The world falls apart, all of a sudden I'm an optimist. I'm trying to focus on those. So there's negatives, which we'll get into just to, you know, a few. Obviously the main one is the fact that ESPN has nothing happening 100% of the time. And at every time you forget and you go to it really fast to see just what happens to be on, it's all reruns, and it just kills your soul.
It's Duke versus Villanova 2015, and you're like, I mean, this is entertaining, but I kind of know what happens here. I'm just looking up on my phone.
Yeah, and I'm just not a rerun guy. I don't like watching stuff when I know the result. It's not – the only exception to me is, like, golf. I could watch Tiger's final round of the 2011 Masters or whatever just because I know what happened, but I don't remember how he got there.
Yeah, that's fair.
But other than that, it's just, like, just boring to me. Like, I don't know.
You know what I do enjoy? When they rerun, like, college football games, but they do it all sped up. So there's no, like, time in between plays, or there's no real, like, commercial breaks for the most part. Like, you can watch a full game in an hour. That's pretty cool because you're just getting action, 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 back to back to back. You're not having to wait for it at all.
I think if it goes from, like knee down, play dead to, like, direct snap, I think it's, like, 14 minutes or 15 minutes or something like that. It's like,
is it really?
You see it one time and you're like, holy crap. What is happening during the other 3 hours and 15 minutes I was watching that game? Like, it really opens your eyes to how much time there is on replays and stoppages and penalties and commercials and timeouts. And it's just like, it's really only, well,
I don't know,
60 minutes of football, right?
Yeah. But some of that is just, most of that's just time in between plays.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, the clock's just running while they're getting set up and everything. So it really is like 20 minutes of action tops.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's insane.
But some of that's positive. Not to go down this rabbit hole, but some of it's positive. You can get up and go to the bathroom. You can go get a beer. You can have some food real quick. You know you're not going to miss that much. Trying to watch a soccer game, like, I really, really only watch the World Cup, and it's so freaking stressful.
Because you can't leave.
Like, I can't. I'm going to hold it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to hold it the whole time. Until halftime, because I don't want to miss anything, you know?
I'm just a little concerned with your positivity through all of this, to be honest. You're finding too many silver linings with everything. Usually you're angry, Kyle, but we don't have that right now. But hey, so maybe we switch. After quarantine's over, I'm just negative Nancy all the time, and you're positive Pauly. I don't know if that's a thing, but I just said Pauly.
I'll snap back into it, don't worry.
Okay. Which... Speaking of, let's transition into a little sports talk because, yes, things are currently not on ESPN or any of the major sports networks, and that has a potential to continue for a very long time, which is unfortunate. I got some inside information. The Pac-12 has suspended organized activity for all fall sports through May 31st. That means no organized in-person team activities, no in-person voluntary workouts. I don't know why I have such a hard time pronouncing words. Sometimes it just blows my mind.
Yeah. Words, they'll get you.
Yeah. So we'll turn this into a silent podcast from here on out. How does that sound? No virtual or online supervised voluntary workouts either, which is kind of interesting, but basically, I don't know. Cause you can't make kids do it right now. You can't make them be outside.
Oh, I guess, yeah.
So, but it brings up an interesting point because through May 31st, most schools are out, and most teams, actually all teams at that point, won't have any time together until fall camp starts, especially if we focus on football. That means that most of these teams will go almost 9 full months without working out or doing any organized team activities right into fall camp, right into hell week, before 2 weeks before opening day. And you think some schools that have huge first week games like USC Alabama or week two USC Stanford most years, like, that's tough.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel so bad for all of those student athletes and even a lot of the professional athletes that are in their prime, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's like your big senior season or early breakout season, or you feel like this is one of your best years, just to have that time taken away from you. Like, I was reading a quick article about Mike Trout saying, like, what is this going to do to his career, this and that. And it's like, you only have so many good, like, great years where, like, this is the peak of your performance, whether college or athletics. And so to have some of that, even if it's just 3 or 4 months of growth taken away from you, like, for a lot of these guys, you know, that off-season growth going into your final season could be the difference in you turning into somebody that gets drafted and somebody that doesn't.
That's true.
Like, there's real, like, lifelong implications to a lot of this stuff that I don't think people are really talking about too much. It just sucks.
Yeah, it's true. And it's also scary when you think guys won't really have had the full range of workouts, the full range of stretching, of being able to see a trainer, all of that stuff, and then they got to go only 2 weeks to prepare. Like, that's scary as far as possibility of injuries moving into a season, especially in football that is so contact and just so violent, and then bodies that maybe aren't prepared the way they should be over the 6 to 8 months before, you know, and then you just show up and you're just smashing each other's heads in. It's a scary thought.
Yeah, I have no doubt that the kids will stay in shape, right? Like, they're smart enough to understand, like, do what you got to do in your garage, mm-hmm. you know, in your parents' house, running down the street, like, stay in shape. But staying in shape is different than, like, having a professional trainer get you in football shape. So yeah. You're right. I mean, the risk of injury goes way up. Like, every time you think USC is going to come into a season with a full head of steam ready to rock, something like a global pandemic happens and we're going to be starting from scratch. Like, we were with a brand new quarterback going against Alabama, JT Daniel, or with Max.
Oh yeah. Max Brown.
3 years ago, Max Brown, when he started, it was his first start and it was like, oh great. Like we want a guy that's experienced to go against a team like Alabama. And we think we have it this year. Psych. Quarantine.
But yeah. So, all organized activity shut down through May 31st. It's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And like you were saying, guys can work out in their, you know, their garages and at a friend's house, or put books in their backpack and do squats and lunges and all that. But that pales in comparison to having the highest technology, like James Perez, our buddy, came on and talked about how Stanford does all of their monitoring. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's just
telling you which hip is, which glute is firing better than the other one. It's like, what? Exactly. That is very different than having books in your backpack doing squats. Exactly. Yes.
Yep. So it'll be an interesting time. We'll see how it all plays out. But there is, I mean, it's hard to say what is going to happen, what is not. But one of the major voices of college football came out recently and had a statement on his personal opinion of what he thinks is going to happen next season. I think you have that in front of you, don't you, Kyle?
Kirk Herbstreit. So, and this happened about a week and a half ago, but we just haven't had time to talk about it. Mm-hmm. In a recent interview with ESPN Radio, Herbstreit said he would be stunned if football is played this fall at the amateur or professional level. Quote, "I'll be shocked if we have NFL football this fall, if we have college football. I'll be so surprised if that happens," he said via TMZ. Quote, "just because from what I understand, people that I listen to, you're 12 to 18 months from a coronavirus vaccine. I don't know how you let these guys go into locker rooms and let stadiums be filled up and how you could play ball. I just don't know how you do it with the optics of it." And it brings up a very good point when it comes to the optics, because the liability that's involved is a large part of the reason why, you know, outside of governor and presidential orders, once somebody in the organization tests positive for something, you have a legal obligation to keep the rest of your organization safe. And that's the reason why the NBA shut down. Rudy Gobert tested positive for COVID-19, for coronavirus. And they said, okay, now that we know that it's inside of our organization, we have an obligation to protect our players. We have an obligation to protect our fans. And so they were forced, almost from a legal perspective, to shut down. And It's the same thing with college football. I mean, I think, yeah, just with how, like you said, the contact and guys sweating and bleeding all over each other and stuff like that, I just, it's dangerous, man. And, yeah. My hope, obviously, is that 6 months just is a long time, and a lot of things can happen between now and then. But you can cancel baseball and stuff all you want, but just don't do this. Don't you take football away from us? Like, you might as well institute martial law within the United States. Like, people will be looting for no reason. Like, it's going to be ugly.
But what if it does come to that? What if the NCAA decides, just as an organization, that they're going to not have any preseason games, so the season won't technically start until like end of September, so you give them an extra month to figure it all out, and then it's just conference play, something along those lines? Do you think that might happen? Or
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, because you can't playoff if you don't at least do like a conference. Let people play at least most of their conference games, right?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely can do that. There's things that can happen, right? And I think they're obviously going to try to do everything that they can to avoid a season with an asterisk next to it, right? Like the NBA season that had the holdout for the CBA, yeah. Like baseball strike and things like that. Nobody wants to win a World Series or a national championship or an MVP or whatever with a half of a season. It's not going to feel the same, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah, that's and a good point. I'd take it over not winning one.
Not that I feel bad for any of these giant conglomerates like NBC and ABC and these companies, but the amount of money in these TV contracts that they're losing out on by just not being able to televise anything is gigantic.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I don't know if there's clauses in the contracts that let them get out of certain payments because of cancel. I don't know how that works. Mm-hmm. We should actually look into that. But there's a lot of money on the line, man. And when there's money on the line, people are going to go after it. So they'll do everything that they can do to make that money. Believe it.
Yeah, that's true. But like you said, the NCAA, even the NFL, is going to be safe because the last thing they want is for one team to have one guy get sick in some locker room and it spreads to the majority of one team, and then they got to their college campus, and you know, and then it just starts all over again, something like that. So
yep.
they're going to be as safe and as precautious as they can. But the thought of potential having football is a very sad one.
Oh, it's so sad. It just, I mean, we were talking about last time, I think, how fortunate we are the time of year that this happened, at least, you know, from my perspective, right? We're not on the holidays for hanging out with your friends and your family and doing those things. That's great. We avoided that. It's not summer where people want a vacation and go to the pool and do concerts and do fun things. It's not fall with, you know, MLB playoffs and NFL and college football. Like, if you're going to do it, I couldn't have picked a better start than like March 1st.
True.
I guess unless it lasts 9 months, then it doesn't matter. It's going to impact everything, right?
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah. So we'll see. Very interesting stuff. But so in addition to the college football talk and some NFL talk, the Olympics have actually been postponed.
Officially.
Which is really interesting when you think about it, because they postponed it just to August 2021, I think.
I think tentatively to next year. That's not the first time the Olympics has been postponed or canceled, though.
So my question was going to be, though, so if it does happen in 2021, are the next Olympics then just 3 years later? So they get back on the normal track? Or do they then go 4 years from that one?
Gosh, I should have done more research on this beforehand, but what did they do for the Cold War? I believe it was canceled, and then they just picked it up 4 years later. Like, I'd have to look back into that, but I think so. I think you postpone it, and then you still keep the schedule of the Winter Olympics the year after that, and then 2 years after that summer, so 3 years after this 2021 Olympics. I just don't know, like, what do you do for qualifying? Is it still over? Do you have to do it again?
See, and that's what I mean. Like, it's an interesting thought because wherever the Olympics is at is in 4 years from now, that country is already trying to get all the infrastructure in place, trying to get everything in place. Yeah. And so like with a game plan of, oh, it's going to happen in 2024, right? So if then it gets shifted, the timelines and what those facilities might've been used for in 5 years, you know, like all of that, just the logistical side of things would be a nightmare.
So I don't know that they canceled it during the Cold War. I don't think they did. So from what I could find on a quick Wikipedia search, it seemed like five Olympic games were canceled.
Okay.
1916 Summer Games, World War One, and then the 40 and 44 Summer Games and the 40 and 44 Winter Games, because at that time they played them at the same year, were canceled due to World War II. So the two World Wars canceled five previous Olympic Games. I think since then, this is the first time that the date has been moved. Somebody, I could be wrong on that, but
we don't check what we say on this podcast, and that makes it even more fun. We just say what we want.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I think you keep it the same. I think it's,
yeah, you'd have to,
you know, shifting everything that's already been set in place and finalized for the next 20 years, 1 year, just logistically changes too much, I think, to do that. So it's a bummer too, because I love the Olympics.
I do too. Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this before, but the swimming, the track and field, the beach volleyball, the indoor volleyball, the gymnastics, it's just so entertaining.
Yeah. There's a lot of sports you don't get to watch really at all until the Olympics.
That's true.
Like, and there's some, if you're a big swimming fan, you watch probably World Games or this and that, but like, I don't watch swimming or gymnastics or track and field or indoor volleyball unless it's the Olympics.
True.
So it gives you like, and it's cool. It makes it more important that you haven't seen it in the last 3 years.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a great point. Well, we don't want to make it all doom and gloom. So anything else about cancellation or postponement of sports before we move into some more fun talk?
No, I'm sure next time we do this, there'll be more.
I know.
Updates.
I hate it. It's terrible. Anywho, let's transition into Tiger King.
Tiger King.
Did you watch the whole thing?
Of course I did.
It's sweeping the nation. It's sweeping the nation. Everyone's talking about it.
If there's anybody listening that has not seen the show Tiger King on Netflix, get out from under your rock. And I get it. We're all living under rocks, but your rock should have Netflix.
Yeah.
If you don't have Netflix, then that's a whole nother conversation.
It's pretty easy at this time to get out from under your rock because we know that you're just at home. So
yeah,
just
no get excuses.
Out. Yeah. And we know that you're not working 40 hours. So just get out, do your thing. I just, big picture thought, I felt the entire time like I was watching it that I was getting punked. I didn't think it was real. It doesn't feel real.
It's hard to believe.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that those are real people with those real issues.
Like, it's one thing for... Let's take a step back.
Yeah, so, okay, maybe give a description of what it is.
So I feel like it was probably... like right when this all started, it might've even been before that. I remember going through Netflix, right? Netflix has that cool top 10 ranking now where they show you like what's popular in the USA today. And all of a sudden on one of the main pages, which automatically like opens to a preview, which is so smart on their part.
Ah, so smart.
It said Tiger King. I was like, oh, what's that? And it said like big cats, murder, mayhem, and like something else. And I was like, oh damn. Like, Steph, that looks really, really good. And at the time, we were looking for a show, and I was like, what can I get a better combination besides, like, you know, murder, mystery, tigers, and like something else? I was like, what is happening? So that's how I got into it, right? I saw it without hearing about it at all. And for a brief description, it's about a man named Joe Exotic who runs a big cat zoo in Oklahoma. So
let's maybe break down big cats.
Tigers.
Catamounts.
Catamounts.
Tigers.
Mostly
lions. Ligers.
Yeah.
Panthers. Jaguars. Like, he's got mostly tigers, but he's got everything. He's also got like monkeys and...
Yeah, but nobody cares about that.
Yeah.
The tigers are the star of the show. And he makes a lot of money off cub petting, which apparently is a giant... you know, a giant part of the documentary, and that this is his revenue stream of breeding large cats, mostly tigers and lions and ligers. I feel like such a dork saying ligers. It's like a it's like a Game of Thrones character, like animal.
It's like when someone tries to be funny by combining two words and you're like, okay, we get it. But yeah, that's actually their name.
It's a real thing. Yeah. Yeah. And it's not only about him and his zoo and his cub petting and the drama that ensues and him running his zoo, but his rivalry with Carol Baskin, who runs Big Cat Rescue, and she prides herself on saving animals, where she feels like, hold on, saving, quote unquote, air quotes.
Yeah, air quotes, saving.
Big cat rescue. She's rescuing animals. Her belief is that Joe is using them as a revenue stream and abusing them. And so that's where their rivalry ensues. Where it goes, well, literally, you'll have, like, I literally had to physically grab the bottom of my chin and close my mouth like 7 times an episode. I just can't. But what's one thing? It's one thing for one person and one family and one crew to just be Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
It's another thing for an entire industry.
Yeah, to be Looney Tunes.
So strange and so similarly strange. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, and the thing, what's crazy to me is that this is not just a rivalry of, you know, PETA versus some animal organization, somebody that has animals or does something, whatever. This goes down a road of potential murder
from both of those. It is very personal.
Yeah, like they're personally attacking each other viciously day after day, going after each other to the point of Joe Exotic gets in some hot water for some of the things he says and what he does to a blow up doll that he is saying is Carol, that gets him down this road of, did he try to hire someone to kill her? Did she murder her husband for money? Like, I am blown away at the twists and turns that pop up in the show.
So before we go any farther, do you think that it's been out long enough to where we can spoil it for anybody?
I think it should. And here's my only thing, because we just did a podcast 2 weeks ago and me, you, and Dan got on this thing and we talked about the top things we were watching at that time. None of us talked about Tiger King and it had already been out at that point.
Good point. So we can't, we shouldn't spoil it is what you're saying.
Yeah. Because I think, I don't think we should spoil it because I think we can hint at some of the things that are brought up because like I said, talk about murder, but no one knows what actually happens unless they go watch it. But I can't wrap my brain around that these are actual people and some of the things that they do.
So this is what we're going to do, Tony. I just made an executive decision.
Okay.
So for anybody listening, if you haven't seen it, see it. Because next time we do a podcast, we're airing it out.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point.
This is your warning. If you haven't seen it, you have a week, maybe two, maybe 10 days. You and I don't even know when the next podcast is going to take place. So watch it right away.
We only do podcasts when it becomes an emergency, which basically means we need a break from our jobs and our quarantine and say, let's do one right now.
Roger, watch it right away because we're going to go all into the details.
Okay. I like that.
Next time. Okay.
I like that. So maybe let's do, what's your biggest teaser for somebody that hasn't seen it? What was the thing that shocked you the most?
The thing that shocked me the most was the relationships.
Mm-hmm.
The relationships across the whole industry. I just know. Like the relationships and the politics part.
Yeah.
Are the two things that just blew my mind. And the things that are driving a lot of the memes and the jokes and the stuff that's going on social media. So obviously, if anybody listening has a Facebook or Instagram,
you've seen it.
Yeah. Seen the photos and the paintings and it's just.
That's a good one. I was going to say something similar because all three of the kind of main characters, quote unquote, have very, very interesting lifestyles.
Yes.
I was going to say something similar. So I will add, I think the depths at which some of these people go to try and take each other down is pretty impressive.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to, I can't even say anything else without getting into too much detail, but I was blown away by just his, like the culture, the culture that he created. And the loyalty that he created.
Yeah.
With all the people around him and just, you know, cause and the beauty of the documentary is everybody that's involved gets interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing's hidden for the most part, right? Like everybody that's involved speaks about their involvements, which is great. You get an insider's view of every single one of their viewpoints.
Yep.
So it's not like one person is just saying like, oh, they made all that up. Like, no, like everybody is involved saying like, this is what happened. And you're like, you're confirming that this was the truth, this is a real thing.
Yeah. I think aside from the actual plot, emotionally, I had an interesting like swinging back and forth of like feeling bad and believing both sides. Like, I guess I don't want to say too much, but I can see at times I felt bad and totally thought like Joe Exotic was 100% right doing exactly what he was doing. And at other times I felt similar for Carol Baskins.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. So without divulging the details of that, I was confused. I think I'm still confused. Well, some stuff comes to light, but I was confused from the majority of the time whose side I should be on.
Yeah. Which like, I think is like, a great documentary. I think that's a tale of a great documentary. Right?
Are they both wrong? Are they both right? And maybe they just disagree in the way that they're going about it. Mm. Like, are they both misrepresenting the other person? And so they're against things that they don't necessarily even understand. Like,
yeah.
And you do get some answers, but still not all of them.
Not all of them.
Especially a lot of the stuff that's come out afterwards with like, oh, here's where these people are now. And this is what this person is doing. And these are some hard truth, some facts about that you didn't know. And you're like, do I even believe any of that? Like, there's still so many unknowns. I'm just hoping and I'm praying because I have the time that there's a season two.
Same. Me too.
100%. They can pull it out of thin air if they want, but they got to put something together because you're immediately going to get 20 million views.
Okay. Okay. Before we move on, one last question about Tiger King.
Okay.
Carol Baskins. Did she do it? Yes or no?
I think yes.
I think yes too.
Yeah, I think yes.
Too much. Too much surrounding to not think that she did.
Yeah. We'll go into that next week.
Next week. So watch it. Maybe we'll bring a third person on too that's seen it so we can.
Oh, that's a good idea. The more the better with that.
Yeah. So okay.
This is gonna turn into one of the staple podcast questions.
Yes, it is.
Right? Like this is like, was there enough room on the door? This is as important in American culture.
But a real one. But a real like.
Real life.
Not Rose and Jack.
No. Well, that's real life too. It's just
true. That's a good point.
Dramatized for cinematic reasons.
Yeah. Good point. Okay. Any other input on any other good shows you watched? Oh, I do want to say one thing. We did finish the two seasons of Succession. I'm hooked.
So at first, I wasn't the first season. Does it continue to be good? Because I'm about to run out of Ozark and I'm gonna need something to watch.
It gets very good. Remember last week I had said I didn't really like it. They were it was just weird. I didn't like how the characters were.
It's HBO.
Yeah. Then I let it get HBO's going.
So good.
And it's phenomenal. We just finished the second season and now I'm hooked. Like the third season's got to come out soon.
Is anybody killed? Because that's important to me.
Yes.
Okay. Good. I'll watch it then.
Yeah.
If nobody dies, it's hard for me to get into. I started watching, and that sounds so terrible, but I started watching Mad Men and like nobody was being murdered. And I was like, well, this isn't that serious.
Mad Men, isn't that more like a philosophical, like I'm going to just kind of outwit you, outsmart you, outman you kind of.
Yeah. Boring. And I love, I love the like smoking cigarettes and drinking whiskey in the office and playing stocks. And I don't love like the, you know, misogynist part of it, obviously, but like, there's a lot of things that I can relate to. Guys are all decked out in suits all the time. Like it's a cool era.
Yeah.
But like, it wasn't like enough. Now on that note, I'm watching Ozark. Have you seen Ozark?
So I watched the first season of Ozark and then I stopped. And so I need to get back into it. I probably should watch like the last five or six episodes through again of season one, just so I can get back up and run in.
So good. Season three just came out. I waited like a year and a half for it. It is so good. Like I'm a sucker for like a cartel connection. I feel like it's something that I can connect to because of like the proximity we have to Mexico and like a lot of the Mexican gangs in LA and like we drive to the USC games and
your previous employment.
Previous employment. and there's a very like real like nowadays seriousness to Mexican cartels, like it's real, it's like real stuff.
Yeah.
So immediately, if there's a cartel connection, it just gets me.
Yeah, that's fair.
Hooked because it's going to be violent. It's going to be like no holds barred, ruthless, and it is.
So Ozark, kind of a slow starting too, though, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it is. And Jason Bateman's personality has that anyway, where he's very like witty.
Yeah, true.
There's a lot of dialogue happening. And so I think, and I love Jason Bateman as an actor, like basically anything he's in, whether it's serious or funny, I just like, like Angry Bosses or Horrible Bosses. Oh,
Horrible Bosses.
It's one of the funniest movies I've ever seen in my life. And he's like the like logical one in that movie, but still hilarious.
Yeah.
So I don't think if you're not a fan of him as an actor and him as a character, because he plays the same person in every movie he's in. He's one of those people that just, he's himself.
Kind of like that bumbling, like, oh, you know, like he's not like an idiot, but he's like very like,
He's very smart, but he's always like the conservative dude.
Yeah. Yep.
So like,
and he always like questions himself and he's always like, yeah, I'm not sure. You know, like he's that guy.
Yeah. So if you don't like him as an actor, as a character, you won't like Ozark because he's like the main guy. If you do like Jason Bateman, it's great. Like up there, man. It's very similar to me as like Breaking Bad. Mm-hmm. Like you have a very like sophisticated, intelligent individual who turns to the wrong side of the tracks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And tries to like make a living that way. And so I feel like those two are kind of connected. Obviously Breaking Bad is one of the best, you know, series of all time. Top five.
Yeah, shout out to our Uncle Mark. He sent us a long email after our last podcast about the shows and what he thought about each one, and he said that you should add into your top two of The Wire and Sopranos. Your third one should be Breaking Bad.
It's up there.
For best of all time. Speaking of that, I started Sopranos, and I'm about three episodes in. I just haven't watched it as much as I should because we've been Tiger King. Some other things. So I need to kind of dedicate a little bit more time to actually getting through, but it is very good. I'm a huge Italian mob guy. I love anything around that.
Then you will love this.
Big fan. Yeah. We just keep getting to something that like Alex and I want to watch together. And like, so I got to find some time to watch more of that by myself.
She doesn't want to watch it.
I don't think it's that she doesn't want to watch it. I think that she's got other things that she would prefer to watch.
Oh, that's just wrong.
Yeah.
Steph didn't watch it either, but it's still wrong. I found when I was watching The Sopranos, I was so hooked that I literally found 30-second intervals to turn it on. Like Steph would be like, really? I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'd be like, like hitting the remote to like get a little clip and then I would turn it back and go to like whatever I'm watching. Like I was so invested in it. And so when it ended, I was seriously like a little bit depressed. Like I was so into the storyline.
Okay. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm hooked already through three episodes because immediately everything starts. Like there's no slow lead up into this series. It just goes from the beginning. Yeah. So, but I love the Italian mob and did you ever watch Peaky Blinders?
Yes. I watched probably a season and a half.
Got it.
And I liked it. I just got distracted by other things. I think that might be one that I picked back up because that was good too.
And that's a good one.
It's difficult to watch without subtitles because of the accents and stuff.
Yeah, you can't understand anything that they say.
Yeah, which I kind of like some of those European accents are just like kind of cool.
Yeah.
I might pick that one back up. I like that. I like the cast was really good.
But I love those types of shows or movies, the Italian mob and the like English, Irish, like, gangs, you know, I love that sort of, and like, just don't really care what the police say. Don't really care what any of the authorities say. I'm going to do it my way and I'm going to get away with it. I just kind of love that whole thing. So, anyhow, that was that. I haven't really started anything else. That's it. No other really good shows.
Once I get through Ozark, I'm going to do some exploring. Okay. I'll have more material in a couple of weeks for sure.
Yeah. Next week. So next week, that's maybe our goal or the next podcast we do. We'll do a full deep dive into Tiger King. And then we will do maybe where we each bring one that we finished.
Okay. Let's do that. Oh, but
the challenge starts tonight.
Starts tonight. I know.
Gosh, it's going to be good.
It's going to be sick.
It's going to be good. Okay. Anything else about TV? Any other good?
Nope, that's what I'm focused on at the moment.
Yeah, fair. I want to bring this up and we'll kind of get this going into some fun questions because we finally went to the grocery store, like did another big grocery store shop the other day because we needed to kind of restock. And we bought some cheese and we bought some stuff to make dinners for the next, hopefully like week and a half, 2 weeks, something like that. But we got home and we started to empty the groceries into the fridge. And as we're putting some of the cheese that we had bought from the store into the fridge, I notice how much cheese we actually have. I literally took every single one, every bag, every container out, and Alex and I counted how many we have. What's your guess on how many different types of cheese, or how many different cheese containers, whether that's in a plastic tin, a plastic bag, like the mini, like little, you know, cheese snacks? Like, how many different types of things do you think we had?
Are the cheese snacks one?
Yeah,
just
one.
Just like,
yes, okay. One. It's like, what are they, the Baby Bell or whatever those
yeah,
are?
Yeah, yeah. So all of them together is one.
One, yes.
Okay. So for some reason, 9 jumps out at me.
Mm. Low. 13.
Oh my gosh.
It's so 13 much cheese. Different containers of cheese. We had Parmesan. We had Gouda. We had the triple Mexican blend. We had the Italian blend. We had sharp cheddar. We had Kraft singles. We had like anything you could imagine we basically had in our fridge. So, which led me to think this is probably a great question for you. What is just one food item that, like, if people came into your house right now, would think that you had just hoarded when the coronavirus broke out, but you actually didn't? It's just your eating habits or consumption habits.
Otter Pops. Okay. Like 7 boxes of Otter Pops.
You have the freezer in your garage, right?
We have a chest freezer. Yeah. So that's helpful. Milk. Mm. We always have, like, at one point we had 4 gallons. So we had to leave one like at Steph's parents' house, or 2 at Steph's parents' house, and then go like pick it up when we started to run out. And let me remind you, we did not get anywhere near any of those expiration dates before we dusted. Chips, like little bags of chips. Like, we have like multiple boxes of the little bags of chips for the boys.
Such great snacks. Okay.
Yes. Tons of snacks and treats and nonsense.
Before we move on from that, in that, you know, cornucopia of chips, what one do you continually grab? What's the one you go after every time?
I tend to mix it up. I either do, I'm okay with either the Doritos or Cheetos, although the older I get, them bigger, the less and less of a fan I am of getting crap all over my fingers. So I try to stay away from the Cheetos because they're freaking messy. I'm even down for a good Frito, which I know is like pretty
plain. I like Fritos
stuff, yeah. But yeah, I'm not a big fan of like the regular Lay's potato chips, like the thin, greasy ones. Like, I try to stay away from those, but
yeah, for sure.
I'll pretty much eat anything else. I've even tried the Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
Oh, I'm not
boys,
a fan.
The boys obviously won't eat them, so they're left in there, and I'll go grab one, and I'm like, you know what?
Are they not bad?
They're not that bad. And, you know, they're not that spicy.
Okay.
I mean, I have different palates, so maybe we should, you know, set that stage.
I'll be careful. Yeah, I'm a Cheeto guy. Like, if I had to pick one, it'd be Cheetos. And then if they have the sour cream and onion Lays, I love those.
Yeah, so I'm a big sour cream fan. Like, sour cream and cheddar.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, so, like, I forgot about that.
Ruffles.
Those are my favorite. The Ruffles sour cream and cheddar, all day, every day. Sour cream and cheddar, for whatever reason, is a freaking great combination.
Yeah. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, okay. So Otter Pops might be one. Milk, okay. I just thought that ran across my mind as I was dumping more things of cheese into my fridge, that, like, what are people, quote-unquote, hoarding that they're not actually hoarding, but that if people think that they would, and I think that might be a good question, too, for other guests that come on.
Yeah, you're just like, no, I always have this much of this.
Yeah.
Like, this is a part of my lifestyle.
You could literally come to my house and ask for any type of dish that included any type of cheese, and we would have it. We wouldn't have any of the other ingredients, but we would have the cheese necessary to complete that meal.
That's awesome.
Yeah, which is good. But so we also wanted to bring up in this podcast, maybe the last thing, unless you've got something else, but obviously we know working from home can be tough, and we talked about it a little bit last week about how to stay productive and what are people are doing to stay on track. And, you know, I think we're kind of getting into a more of a groove now that people have been working from home for a week and a half, maybe even 2 weeks. And so we decided to look up what the average week working hours was from around the world, because I can't imagine that most people are getting to their expected 40 hours a week. Would you agree? Disagree?
I would definitely agree. I mean, I think that like, it depends on your industry, obviously, but if you're working remote, one, I would assume that your business is just operating just a little bit slower than normal.
True.
Which would decrease your workload. And then two, I also feel like you gain some time without travel. Now, I only drive like 20 minutes each way to work, but I can wake up and just like throw some sweatpants on and like start answering emails at 7:30 without even thinking about it. Whereas before it'd be like shower, get dressed, do my hair, go to work. So like I have such a head start that by 3 o'clock, I'm like, I've already put 8 hours in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think that the amount of time that you're actually like working might be close to the same. You're definitely not, you know, busy from 8 or 7:30 to 5 or 5:30. Like,
right.
You know, I mean, I'm sure some people are, I'm not saying that everybody else is, but I would imagine that everybody's for the most part, keeping the train on the tracks, not trying to build a new train at the moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair. That's a great way to put it. Right. Because if at this point people know that most people that are working from home at this time, that's not their like primary way of working, right? They're either at an office, they're at a school, they're wherever they are. So they know that that productivity is and time worked is probably going to be a little bit lower than normal. But so anyways, just we had been talking and we thought it would be interesting to know when circumstances are regular, which countries around the world work the least and work the most. And we found what could be real, could not be real. This is from smallbiztrends.com. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you trust smallbiztrends.com?
I mean, the fact that it says biz, not business, makes me a little nervous. Probably like a 6.
Okay. So take this data.
Which is a D, which got me through French Revolution in college. So go for it.
So take this data as you will, but we thought it was the easiest to consume. Apparently, from smallbiztrends.com, the country that works the least amount of hours weekly is the Netherlands. 29 hours a week is the average work week.
29. Gosh, that's still crazy.
Yeah, 29. So if you break that down, that's under 6 hours a day.
Which means there's a lot of people working a lot less than that, if that's the average.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep. So, and then next up, Denmark, 32 hours a week. And then you had followed by US, Germany, and Switzerland, 34 hours per week. So that's kind of that tier right there. And then the highest average, Chile, 43 hours, Costa Rica, 45 hours, Mexico, 45 hours, and Colombia, 48 hours.
Good for them.
Yeah. But just interesting, I think
It takes a lot of time to grow and export cocaine. So yeah, that's why.
I would imagine Pablo Escobar worked way more than 48 hours a week.
Oh, I just had to say that. Sorry.
No, it's fine. Interestingly, though, that the U.S. is kind of on the lower end, considering most people think that they're just kind of nose to the grindstone as a country here.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, 48 hours is a lot. It's over 9 hours a day. It's almost 10.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is interesting. I think the stigma, obviously, with the United States is that there's very little work-life balance. It's just about like getting ahead, winning, business, money, revenue, the whole thing. And I think other countries take a little more pride in family and in sports and in you know, things like that. So
actually, you know, it's really interesting to think too that the US has an average of 32 hours a week, but probably has way more people than the Netherlands. So you got to imagine that way more people are working more than 40 hours a week in the US too.
Oh yeah. So, absolutely.
Right. So that's an interesting thought.
Yeah.
That's really it. We just wanted to enlighten you a little bit and just kind of drop some knowledge. Do you have anything else that you want to talk about?
No, that's all I got from an emergency podcast perspective.
Yeah. Just time to get away. Actually, you're not really getting away from anything because in your house, but you're mentally getting away.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm sitting in the same spot I have been all day.
But you're doing something vastly different.
Yes, I did change the buttons I clicked on my computer.
Do you happen to have a hard time like just knowing what day it is now, though? I really am struggling with that.
It's not that I don't know what day it is. It's just that they don't seem any different. Like, yeah. When I wake up on Saturdays, I'm like, should I go do some work? And then I wake up on Mondays, I'm like, should I go do some work? Like, it's just like, it's very like Saturdays or Mondays or Tuesdays. Or, like, it just doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
Outside of like having a meeting schedule, like that obligation, it's just, it's literally, I don't know, just 80% of the same, which is really weird.
Yeah. Yeah. It is very, very weird. Sometimes, I mean, I don't know if I want to admit this, but I'm going to admit this because I think I owe it to our listeners because I think they're probably in the same boat. I would say there are multiple days that I just don't brush my teeth or shower, and not because I don't want to. It's just the day goes by so quickly. And then it's like, oh, well, I might as well just go to bed and I'll do that tomorrow. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm doing my best, especially this last week, to try to create some sort of routine. But yeah, you're right. In the beginning, it was just like, well, guess I don't need to do that.
when you're only trying to impress the people that you know love you the most, taking care of your personal hygiene doesn't really matter, right? They don't care. They're going to love you the most.
for better or for worse. Yeah. Like, man, this might be worse. Figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in quarantine and in freedom, richness and poor.
They'll have to add that to vows moving forward.
Well, good. Okay. Well, if that's it, then we'll do the same damn thing next week, maybe? Question mark?
We will find out. That's
for sure. But for sure we do know whenever we do another one, deep dive into Tiger King, and we'll have some other recommendations of what to watch.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, see it. Otherwise, it's on you.
I like it. All right. Same damn thing. Very soon.
You got it.